How many of you have ever had what we would really refer to as a bad day? The reason I asked that, I said something to a fellow the other day here in the community, and I said, you look like you're having a bad day. He says, no, they're all good days. It's just a matter of perception. And I think that really is true. It's a matter of how we view life and how we view our situation in life. Some might say, if you were to ask them what kind of day are you having, some would say, it's just been one of those days. And perhaps it has for some. Sometimes people get up in the morning and they're very, very unhappy and they're destined to have what they call a bad, bad day. You know, Paul and Silas in their ministry for Christ, and Paul had engaged on three specific missionary journeys. And Paul and Silas were on a particular missionary journey that brought them to Philippi. And in the book of Acts chapter 16, verse 16 through 34, the story for us begins to unfold about perhaps maybe a bad day. The Bible says that there was a certain woman in Philippi who was a fortune teller who was possessed with a demonic spirit. And she kept chanting day after day, "These men are bondservants of the Most High God. And they are proclaiming to you the way of salvation." And it actually became a nuisance. And it rendered their ministry ineffective. And Paul, the Bible tells us, cast out that demonic spirit from her. And then she lost her ability to actually foretell the future. When her masters actually saw what was going on and what Paul and Silas had done, they were very angry about it. They seized them and they dragged them into the marketplace. Now, the reason they did that is the fact that because of her soothsaying, they were using her and they were making money. And so Paul cast out this demon spirit, and now they're really upset about it. Well, you might think, well, that's not really so bad that they did that, but things went from bad to worse. You ever had that happen? They were brought before a makeshift court, beaten, and thrown in the inner prison where their feet were fastened in stocks. They couldn't move about. And I guess you could say it was one of those days for Paul and for Silas. You know, sometimes people have good days and some people have bad days. And sometimes for people that have a bad day, it might be a good day for someone else closely connected to the situation. I heard about a little boy named Joey one time who walked into his dad's study while his father was working on the computer. And he walked in and he said, "Dad," he said, "do you remember you told me that you'd give me $20 if I passed that math test?" And the father noticed. He said, "That is exactly right, son." And the boy looked at him and said, "Well, the good news is that I just saved you $20. Now, the account of this event taking place, as I said, occurs in the 16th chapter of the book of Acts. And I want to continue reading this tonight. And I've put it up here where you can read along with me. And it's not real, real lengthy, but I think to put all of this in perspective and where you can see where I'm going with this tonight, it would really be helpful. So in Acts chapter 16, picking up the reading in verse 22, the Bible says, "And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes and commanded to beat them. And when they laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into the prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely, who having received this charge, or such charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them. And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundation of the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors are open, and everyone's bands are turned loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awakening out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, well, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners, that is Paul and Silas, had fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we're all here." And he called for a light, and he sprang in, and he came trembling, and he fell down before Paul and Silas, and brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And they said unto him, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all of his, straightway. And when he had brought them into the house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all of his house. Things sometimes are tough for those of us who are Christians, but they go worse for the unrighteous who do not know Christ as Savior and Lord. And sometimes God says to us who are Christians in Psalms 46 and verse 1 that we just have to be still, he says, and know that I am God. You know, when we're having a bad day, what we actually have to do is turn our eyes upward toward Christ, toward Jesus. That's where we need to focus our attention. Sometimes we focus our attention upon the dilemma itself, or maybe upon ourselves, woe is me, instead of really turning our eyes upon Christ to seek the help that we really need. You know, the book of Amos is a great book. The Bible, first of all, in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9 through 10 says, "Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God?" I know greater blessings come to God's children, but for the unrighteous, it is a tremendous dilemma. As I said, the book of Amos is a great book, and many great truths found within that book. One of them is found in the book of Amos chapter 5 and verse 19. It's very interesting here. You may have read Amos and you may have read this and just overlooked it, but whatever. He talks about the unrighteous. He says, "You will be like someone who escaped from a lion only to be attacked by a bear, or like someone who goes into the safety of his own house. He leans up against a wall and then he is bitten by a snake." How many of you would know that would be a bad, bad day? Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6 says, "My people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge." And God says, "Because you have rejected me," that is the unrighteous, "because you have rejected me, I will reject you and your children." In Psalms 5 and verse 12, the Bible says, "For you bless the righteous, O Lord. You cover them with favor as with a shield." I believe that God's people are under special favor by our Father who is in heaven. And there is no passage that gives us greater peace than that found in Isaiah 26 and verse 3 that says that "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee." You see, God always has the last word. It is something that we need to remember. David said in the long ago in Psalms 34 and verse 18 that weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. I like Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord, to them that are called according to his purpose. Now, I told you this morning that there are two ways that you can change a bad day into a good day. And if you look back at the life of Paul and Silas, and particularly on this missionary journey, when they had gone to Philippi, and one thing you will remember is that Paul had a lot of bad days. From our perspective, they weren't for Paul, because Paul was very optimistic and Paul could see through all those problems and take delight in the God who was leading him, who was guarding him, and giving him direction in life. And he will do the same for you and for me. But there are two ways and two things that they did. And the first one being prayer. Isn't it interesting that in this text, the Bible says that they began to sing and pray at midnight. If you were in prison, first of all, if you were in a prison and your feet were in stocks, and all of a sudden an earthquake hits, you're probably thinking, oh no, I'm going to die right here in this prison. You know what Paul and Silas were doing that night? They were not singing, you know, ready to suffer like sometimes we sing, Sam. And that's a grand old song, by the way. But they weren't singing that song, ready to suffer, but they were singing and they were glorifying God in prayer. When you feel that your world is caving in, you need to remember that prayer moves the hand of God. Have you ever wondered why often the Bible talks about prayer, why we ought to be praying people? Jesus said that we ought to pray. Paul says that we should give thanks to God in everything. Prayer changes things. And believe it or not, it changes things starting with the one who begins to pray. Prayer does change things. It is a lesson that you and I need to always remember. When you're having a bad day, instead of lamenting the fact that you're having a bad day, that things are going awry, why not begin your day with a word of prayer? And if that dilemma approaches you in the middle of the day, why don't you start praying about it? Someone said, if you hem both ends of the day with prayer, that is the morning and the evening, it is less likely to come unraveled in the middle of the day. And I think that's exactly the way the Apostle Paul felt. Paul was on communication levels with God. And he is the one who teaches us to pray. The reason we ought to be praying is the fact that prayer, number one, is a sin killer. It is a sick helper. We ought to be praying for the sick. It is a power giver. God gives us power when we pray. It is a victory gainer. You want to overcome the world and you want to be the victor in your life. Whatever you have to face, you need to be praying about it because prayer is a victory gainer. It is a blessing promoter. It is. And so we ought to just keep on praying. And you, because God is within you, have a power within you that the unrighteous does not have. Paul and Silas prayed for results, and they saw the hand of God. They did. They saw the hand of God move. You know, I've often thought that you and I might be able to see the hand of God move as well if we prayed. Prayer changes things. We must be a people that pray for results, and people that pray with a purpose. Sometimes people pray, but they don't really pray with a purpose. They just go through a bunch of incantations. They just start saying things to God because they feel like they ought to pray. It's kind of like when you sit down for a meal. Do you really thank God when you pray? Or do you feel like it's just the thing that you ought to be doing by acknowledging the fact that this meal came from God, and so you go through the motion of praying? We ought to be a people that pray with a purpose and pray and ask God for results. And when they come, pray again and thank God. Paul and Silas saw the results. It moved the hand of God. And I'm going to tell you, it will move the hand of God in our life at will. And the Bible in the book of Luke 18, verse 1, Jesus said that men ought always pray and faint not. Don't give up. How many times have you ever prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you prayed and you really didn't see an answer to your prayer? You didn't think you saw an answer to the prayer. God gave you an answer to the prayer, but you just weren't listening and you weren't looking. You know what? Satan tries to limit our prayers. He does. Because he knows that our prayers will limit him. That's why James would write in that little book over in the New Testament that is inscribed with his name, the book of James. And he would write these words, that the effectual fervent prayer, James chapter 5, of the righteous man avails much. Not a little, but much. Great things. Someone said that prayer is the greatest wireless connection available to you and to me. It is. to be able to talk to God. Now, I told you there were two things, and you probably were thinking ahead of me. You were probably saying, yeah, I know one of them's prayer, because, you know, we all ought to be praying about certain things. But let me share with you the second one, which to me is equally as important, and it is something that very few of us do. And that is, when we are having a bad day, praise God. You know what we do when we go to God? We don't praise Him. You're having a bad day, problems are happening in your life. You know what you do? You start saying, why, God? You start asking God questions. You start saying, God, why did you allow this to happen to me? Or if you're not asking Him why it happened to you, you are blaming God for letting it happen. And it could be any number of things here tonight. I'm not here to elaborate all the dilemmas that every one of us find in our lives every day taking place. But what God is saying unto us is that we ought to keep calm and pray. That's the key, prayer and praise, isn't it? I'm going to tell you something. A psychologist, as I said this morning, may tell you something contrary to that, and they'll charge you big bucks. But when you go to the Bible, you'll find the answer to your dilemma. And you can turn your bad day into a good day when you change your perspective upon life and living. We ought to praise God in every situation. Not just when days are going good, but even when we're having bad days. Do you ever do that? Think about that. Paul's in prison in Philippi. Hadn't been there before. First time. Didn't know any of the prisoners, didn't know anything around him, but Paul is thinking ahead. He is thinking, God is going to lead me to an individual here who is not a Christian. I'm going to convert that man to Christ. And God brought an earthquake and allowed it to happen. You know why he let it happen? Didn't just happen. Wasn't just to free Paul and Silas. But you know what happened? It's because they were praying and they were praising God. You know what? I have come to believe that great things happen when you pray and when you praise God. When you pray and you praise God, and whatever the situation is. That's why Paul says, I've come to believe, you know. He said, I've committed myself to Him who will keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. Paul's getting ready to die under Nero. By the way, he is getting ready, Paul is, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 4, to face the very same thing that three men have faced at the hands of ISIS over the last few weeks. Paul is getting ready to be beheaded by Nero of Rome. Had they had the media as we have it today, they probably would have flashed it on the screen for all Christians to see. Word went throughout the Roman Empire about Paul and what was going to happen to him. And Christians were praying. But Paul was not lamenting it. You know what Paul was saying then? He had the same attitude that he had when he was back in Philippi. And when he writes to this young minister named Timothy, he writes to him and he says in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 8, he said, the time of my departure has come. But you know what he says? He doesn't say, I don't think I'm quite ready to go yet. But he says, I am now ready. I'm ready. Because I'm ready, because I fought a good fight, because I've kept the faith and I've finished the course, and henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me in that day, and not only to me but to all of them that love His appearing. Paul is praising God to the very end. He is. praise the Lord. That's what Paul was saying. God sent an earthquake. Now, normally, in most situations, if, you know, and I think they had a little earthquake up in Irving the other day, I think. And, you know, because of all of the well fracking that they've been doing in East Texas, and I think up around Plano and some other places, people are really getting uptight about all of that, and they want that process to stop. And most naturally, many of us, if there was an earthquake in the community, would probably ring, "Oh no, the end is coming. You know, what's going on?" Paul isn't saying that. God sent that earthquake because Paul and Silas were praying and because they were praising. And in reality, the earthquake became a blessing. Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises at midnight. Now keep this in mind, folks, at midnight. I mean, you know, some folks get uptight when they have to come back to church on Sunday night at 6 o'clock. At midnight. They're not laying on a comfortable pillow in a Holiday Inn somewhere. They're singing. I don't know whether they were singing polyphonically or not. Maybe Paul was singing bass and Silas was singing tenor. Who knows? But they were singing and they were glorifying God. Paul and Silas sang as the prison was shaken as well. The doors are opened and they are delivered. You know what? You and I tonight may be in a prison of despair. You may be. You may be in a prison of marital problems. You may be, known only to you. You may be in a prison of financial problems, or a prison emotionally, or a prison mentally, or a prison relationally speaking, or even in a spiritual prison. Only God can deliver you. Praise is the language of faith. It is. And praise plus prayer brings about deliverance. You know, we don't like to read the book of 1st and 2nd Chronicles much because I hear people say all the time, "Well, I don't like to read those books because it's just all those begets, so-and-so." But you know what? Hidden within those books of begets, there are many great and wonderful truths. And in the book of 1st Chronicles chapter 23 and verse 30, the man of God says, "Stand every morning and thank God and praise the Lord." It's something that you and I ought to do at the dawn of every morning that awakens, is to stand and thank God. Praise God. You know, I get up every morning singing. I do. It just comes natural for me. And I don't do it in the bedroom. I let Audrey sleep. But I get up every morning and I'm singing and I'm praising God and I'm thanking God for this great and wonderful and marvelous day. And I don't say that pretentiously, I mean that. David said, "Praise the Lord," Psalms 103 and verse 1. And you know, when I get up in the morning, I like to get up early in the morning. I like to hear the birds sing. Psalms 50 and verse 6 says, "Let everything that has breath praise the Lord." You and I, if we are children of God, then we need to start acting like it. 1 John 2 and verse 28. We need to start letting our light shine before the world, that we are a people of faith, not a people of fear. Only Christians can pray and praise the Lord God acceptably. Now, you may question that, but I'm telling you it's true. For John 8 says that God hears not the prayers of sinners. When we became Christians in baptism, there was one thing we did then, and one thing, the same thing that we do now when we pray. You know what that is? We plead the blood of Christ. When you were baptized for the remission of sins. It was in that act of going down into that water that you were released from your sins by coming in contact with the blood of Jesus Christ. And as a child of God, when we pray, the Bible says, listen to this, if we walk in the light, as He is the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Christ cleanseth us from all of our sins. For if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We plead the blood of Jesus Christ. You know, God speaks to us through His Word. He does. If we take time to listen, He takes time to listen to us. And there's one thing that we have to remember, folks. And it will change your day from bad to good. God has a reason for allowing things to happen. We may never know, we may never understand His wisdom, but we simply have to trust His will. And I'm going to tell you something. That is exactly what Paul and Silas did, incarcerated in the walls of that Philippian jail. They were trusting God's will. Paul knew that good could come from this. You know, sometimes it's hard for us to see how good can come from certain things. How in the world could an earthquake be good? Well, it released Paul and Silas, and they converted a man and his whole household as a result of it happening. So the next time you face a bad dilemma, stop and ask yourself the question, maybe God is using this to bring about good in my life or in the lives of others. And start singing and praising Him and praying to Him. And by the way, this same Paul could later write to the Philippian church where he had been incarcerated these words, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. And you know what? That's great assurance to me. If Paul could do it, I believe we can. And so whatever we have to face, look to God, pray to Him, and praise His holy and majestic name. Maybe tonight you're carrying the weight of a problem. Maybe you're in stocks and bonds, if the truth were known, in a figurative spiritual sense. You're bound by something, and God wants to set you free. Well, the freedom is there, and the choice is yours. While we stand and while we sing.